The opening zombie stuff is really, really well done. The opening credit sequence is incredibly long, incredibly some of the most boring fonts in the world. But you aren't watching it for the fonts. You're watching it for the slow-mo zombie action in the background of these fonts. It's amazing. And just this, and this lounge act kind of Liberace impersonator and Elvis impersonator and just like naked zombie showgirls, you know, topless shop zombie showgirls, you know.
In a world where you only have trailers and posters to judge a movie, Jim and Ted strike out to answer the age-old question, will you see it?
It is episode 162 of the Trailer Junkies podcast, and here we are, Jim and Ted, on another Friday night. Ted, how the heck are you? This is Jim coming to you live as we happen.
Right here on this Friday night.
That's it, man. Yeah, sometimes it's Saturday night, sometimes it's 6 a.m. on Sunday morning. But no, tonight we have a standard Friday recording.
I know. It almost didn't happen. We were, you know.
Uh-oh.
But I'll get into that in a little bit. I think you have a big beer you want to crack there. Let's crack that beer.
Yeah, well, big bottle, not big in booze. So it's only a 5%
flavor. It's big in flavor.
Yeah, probably. It's only a 5%. It's a
what is it, a Saison or something? Or
no, it's a Degard Hose out of Tillamook, Oregon. So they probably have like cheese in it or something. I don't know. But a Degard Hose, dry hop, spontaneous wild ale, aged in oak barrels for 1 year with coriander, sea salt, and orange zest and juice.
Nice. Juice?
I don't know. Orange juice, I guess. It was bottled 420, I'm assuming April 2020.
Nice.
And it's 5%, so it's not a big beer, but it's a big beer. So while this has a cap and a cork, so while I'm wading my way through the defenses of what it takes to get to this beer.
A cap and a cork? What is that?
Well, I think what it is, so when you have corks, corks don't have anything holding them in place, so you don't want
the
cork.
It's like the cage.
It's kind of like a cage, yeah.
But it's a cap.
The cap is its cage.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Now, if it had a cap and a cage, I'm like, what kind of pressure are we talking here?
Just saber that thing. Just saber that whole top off.
That's right. It's funny, too. Like, I just opened the cap, and you're expecting the...
And it didn't do it.
Nope. There's not... No, because the cork's there.
Right.
Yeah. So what do
it
you
It looks
have?
Like the cork is on its way out, too. It's like, oh, no.
It will be.
Okay, while you uncork that, I have... Let me pop these glasses up a little bit here. Eureka Brewing Company Double Bogey.
So was that your idea?
What?
Eureka!
No, I'm hoping it's from NorCal or something, right?
I would assume so.
Yeah, Gardena? Or Gard... I don't even know.
Gardena.
Yeah, it's NorCal. I won't hold that against it. Oh, nice pop.
Yeah, there we go.
And it's cool. It has a double bogey.
Oh, man, that smells good.
And it has a picture. It has a little drawing of an astronaut playing golf on the moon or something.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
And basically just a little poem in here. Your ball just crossed the event horizon and you won't be finding it. Take the double bogey in stride with this West Coast Dippa and its clean dry malt profile with Citra, Mosaic, and whole cone Simcoe. So those are the flavors that definitely love.
Sounds yummy.
So here we go. I'll crack it up. Oh, we have the same glass today, the Stella Artois.
Yeah, I have Clarissa sitting patiently by waiting. So, So we're ready to go with our drinking. And it's like champagne-y in its bubble.
Nice.
Oh, it smells amazing. Oh, wow. It's almost like a sour.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. You know how it hits you in like the back of your... like your jaw muscles.
Yeah.
It's one of those kind of beers, you know? So it's certainly like a, oh man, this is
tasty.
This is really good. This is, it's like a sipper, but it's kind of dangerous. Fortunately, it's only 5% and I won't be completely thrashed by the time the show's over.
Mine's sitting at 8.5.
There you go. So you beat me on that.
Yeah.
On ABV, but I think I beat you on style.
you beat me on flavor profile. But I will say that the pininess to this one, I'm a big fan of that. What's the Figaro Mountain one? The big cone or whatever.
Oh, Lizard Mouth?
No, there's one that's like big the cone. Black cone. Black cone?
Oh, yeah. Black Cone, I think, is what it is. Yeah.
Black Cone is one of my favorite of Figura, and this has very similar profile of, like, just that piney, very, I think it's the Simcoe, right? That's the one that's super piney, right? Oh, no, the Mosaic.
The Mosaic. Probably. I would have to look at my chart, but I'll take your word for it. I don't know it cold.
I like this. I like the flavor of this, hazy IPA, hazy double IPA.
It's a hazy.
Hazy double IPA.
Oh man, I love it. I would say as this sits, like, you know, you take a sip and you kind of let it just like air on the back of your palate. The orange zest and sea salt come to the front.
Mm, okay.
So you have that, like, it's really bitter and sour initially.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like the orange kind of floats to the top. And it gives you almost like, you know, if you're in the ocean and you take a mouthful of seawater.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, this is awful because it's like a mouthful of seawater.
You're not supposed to drink it.
This is like if you had like a spritzer of seawater almost. Like it's that, it's like salty in that regard, but like perfectly balanced spritzer of seawater.
Nice. Oh, I have a question for you.
Okay.
Since it has the juice in the profile.
Yeah.
Is there anywhere on the label where it tells you how much percentage juice it is?
I don't think so, no. It says, nope, not at all.
Okay.
My guess is when they say juice, I think they're talking like, again, a spritzer of it. I don't think that...
Like just a little...
Yeah, I think it's for flavor, not for vitamin C. You know, I don't think this is a health food drink, if you know what I'm saying.
I just thought legally, you know, the same way they have to put legally on ABV, anything that contains juice has to put like 2% juice on like those little juice waters that the kids have and stuff like that. The Capri Suns have to say no juice whatsoever, you know?
Yeah, my feeling is because it's an alcoholic beverage that they don't need to go, you know, through the hoops and flaming,
right,
juggling, acrobatic.
Flaming FDA.
No, I have a feeling it's probably like literally like a spray bottle. They just spray the thing with. And I mean, I have no idea. I'm just making it up. I'm trying to impress people.
So how was your week?
Week was a little slow.
Okay.
I would say the height of the week was the day after we recorded last week.
Okay.
So we attended the Backroom member appreciation party.
Oh,
so we're
nice.
Members of the Backroom. I talk about them often. That's where I get a lot of these beers. That's where I got this Degard. And that's where I get my, well, Valley Brewers is where I get my ingredients to brew. And then the Backroom is their like speakeasy that we're members of. And they have like their whatever member thing. And there's not a lot of members that, you know, are in this, like the tier that we have. There's only like 30 of us or something.
Mm-hmm. You got this during COVID, right? This is like that COVID time you were supporting them. And
yeah. So what they wound up doing was pre-COVID, even during COVID, it was a free for all. Just come drink expensive beer. And, you know, we were this tourist place in Selvang, California.
Right.
And they got tired of being overrun by people. So what they did was, rather than having like 100 people back there alienating their regulars, what they said was no more with anybody coming there just willy-nilly. So they essentially have three tiers. They have the ambibulous tier, which is what we have, the alderman tier, which is the second tier, and then those are both paid. And then the third tier is like if you're on our email list, you could say a code word and that'll get you in, but there's a $5 cover charge.
Okay.
And so there's people like in LA and stuff that might come up for the weekend, but because they're on the list, they pay a cover charge. They come in. It works for them because they're there one time a year.
Right.
And, you know, they don't need to spend money $300 a year like we do.
Right, right, right.
But we go way more often. So anyway, they had their member appreciation. So it was two free beers, free food, which was like burgers and chips and, you know, nice. Donuts and like all this stuff. And they had like beer pairing with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then everybody who came brought a beer or bought one when they got there like we did. And then it was just share. Everybody would just share beers, and they had like the, I don't know, the 6 ounce snifters that you would share with.
Right.
Maybe 8 ounce snifters, whatever it was. But the thing with that was, okay, so the beers that they were giving you, you could have anything you wanted on the menu, but they had actual like food pairings. And if you didn't like those choices, you could get whatever you wanted. So
right.
We just went with the food pairings and they paired them quite well.
Mm-hmm.
The beer was amazing, as it always is there. And the shared beer, you would bring your beer in and it would just went into a cooler. And let me just say, there was a ton of beer to be shared. The party was from 5 to 8.
Wow.
We left about 12:30 a.m.
No way.
Yeah. So there was so much beer to be had and we're just drinking and all this stuff. And people, like, as the night's going on, it's like you drink your beer. People were rinsing, you know, and then you put like from a IPA to a stout and you'd rinse, and then you'd put like a sour and you'd rinse. So as the night went on, it's like 10 at night or something. And people are like, oh, let me give you a rinse. And I'm just like, it doesn't even matter. My palate is so wrecked and I'm so smashed. I don't even know what I'm drinking, but you're just, and when I say they're like 2-3 ounce pours people are giving you because yeah. like everybody's sharing like a
there's,
can.
There's so many. Yeah.
There's so many. Right. Man. But like 2 to 3 ounces times 100 times 14 ABV or whatever the hell it was. Oh, my God. We were just destroyed by the end of the night, you know.
And, wow. Wow.
And fortunately, Clarissa saw the writing on the wall and stopped drinking way early. And I was like, yeah, let's
she's
keep
the
sharing.
Reasonable one.
Yeah. And I'm just like, let's keep sharing. I'm here to share, you know. And it was a lot of fun. We met a lot of people who work in the wine industry and the beer industry in the area. They had a ton of, I mean, a massive wealth of knowledge that I couldn't even touch.
So are these other like brewers in the area that are like their own breweries?
Some, yeah, some.
That's amazing. That's great.
Wine owners, wine yeah. hospitality people. Yeah, some were that. Not everybody. I mean, some were just people who like beer and wanted to hang out, you know? And
yeah.
Some people brewed their own. Some people mm-hmm. didn't. It was like an eclectic group. We shared a table with a couple. He's a wildland firefighter. So he was talking about his experiences with that. And, you know, it was really intimate. It was only about maybe 25 members and then like their counterparts. So it was maybe like 50 people tops. By the end of the night, it was maybe, I don't know, 20 of us.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hanging out and stuff. And it was really good. We enjoyed it. It was just a ton of fun. It was like 30 weeks of Trailer Junkies podcast beer tasting.
Compressed
into one night. I'm not even exaggerating.
Into 7 hours.
It was like 7 hours of 30 weeks of Trailers Junkies podcast, you know? I mean, I must have tasted, I don't even know, like 40 different beers.
Quality beers. Like,
oh, it would be like going to Handy Market and just picking 40 just opening. Beers, opening and just pouring like horror novel. It wasn't. It's not like you drank them all. Obviously, it's just
right.
But it was like 3 ounces of like 40, 50 beers. I mean, it was unbelievable.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was such a good time. So much good beer. And like I said, at the end of the night, they were just pouring me beers, and I'm just like, I don't need it, but sure. Don't worry about rinsing
Let's
my
taste
glass.
That one, yeah.
I'm wrecked. Like it's whatever. I'm having fun. And there was one dude really quick. There was one dude who he had a career at Hughes doing some kind of engineering.
Okay.
And he was, I think he was in Culver City. And I said, oh yeah, my father-in-law, I said, my wife's over there. And, I said, yeah, he was at the labs in Malibu and all this.
Right. Right.
And the guy's like, ooh, Malibu. That's where the big dogs were. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, I guess so, you know, but he might have been a big dog, but I just call him, you know, Frank. He's my father-in-law, but yeah. So, and then just to finish out the week, I mean, that was like the big thing. I thought, you know, I really enjoyed it and all the great beer. And then to finish out the week, we were talking, me and Clarissa, my Chicago came out. We were talking one night. I'm going to say it was Sunday. We were barbecuing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about Thanos.
Uh-huh.
And the way I said it was Thanos. And Mikey yells across the room. He said, it's not Thanos. It's Thanos. I said, Mike, I didn't say Thanos. I said Thanos. And then Clarissa said, oh, no, you said Thanos.
Like you played for the Blackhawks or something.
Yeah. So my Chicago really came out there. And then we were talking the following day about the Bad Batch. And it came out like the Bad Biatch. And Timmy looks at me and said, Bad Biatch?
You're doing it again.
I said, I didn't say the Bad Biatch. I said, it's the Bad Batch. So they caught me twice with my Chicago accent, you know, and
wow.
The boys just called me out on it. And then it got me thinking, maybe it is like the Bad Biatch.
we'll have to save it because I didn't get to it this week.
No, we didn't either.
Okay, good.
Oh,
I'm glad we're on the same schedule here.
Is that right? How about you, man? How was your beach? Beach.
Bitch.
How was your week? I talk too much about drinking like 40 beers or something. So how about you?
So just conversely to you, yours happened right after our last podcast. And my week kind of culminated today.
Okay.
We had a half day at work, kind of. And because of that, yesterday was the last day at school.
Oh, nice.
So we typically take the kids out for ice cream.
Wow. That's early. We have 2 weeks to go.
Well, you remember we have that 1 week or whatever. You guys have that extra week in the winter.
Yeah, that's the thing.
So we typically take them out for ice cream. So today Audrey had to return her books. So we returned the books.
Is that like your family tradition? Last day of school, go for ice cream?
Yeah, exactly. We go for ice cream.
Nice. I like it.
So we piled into the car getting ready to go for ice cream, but you know, it felt special. It felt like more than just go out for ice cream. So we went to the Grove. Like we used to go to the Grove all the time. Like, you know, we could go to the Grove and have a meal and have a nice lunch or something. And we got to do that again, you know, with eating with the mask off, eating outside, but
very cool.
We're all fully vaccinated. So it felt right. It felt okay to do.
So are the kids two or no?
Audrey's halfway there and Bryce is waiting to turn 12. So
gotcha. Okay. And he's 11.
He's 11 and he'll turn 12 next month. July.
Okay.
So we did that today and we were just tooling around the Grove like old times and it felt, you know, normally packed.
Normal-ish.
Felt normal-ish, you know, people wearing masks, some people not wearing masks, you know, and you just kind of say, you know, Bryce is still he's very attuned to the mask wearing. And
that's Tim.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, they're not following the rules. I was like, maybe they're vaccinated. Maybe they'll have it. You know what I mean? We're not going to judge anymore. We're just going to let it go. And we have our masks if we feel like wearing our masks, and we'll just do whatever we want to do for ourselves, you know? So that was really fun and enjoyable.
That's exciting.
And then Ann and I had a bottle of rosé with lunch today. And you know, it was a nice warm day, and it was just warm enough to be like, you know, a couple glasses of rosé with lunch and walking around the Grove in the midday heat. Not really, it's not hot, but you know, it felt warm enough.
Man, it was like 52 and windy here, man. We were like, I'm out in the yard like freezing.
I don't know what it was here, but I felt the sun, and the sun was nice, and the wind was nice. But it was definitely like, I don't know if I'm going to make it tonight to get to podcasting and drink another beer.
And I drank way too much.
And it wasn't that. It was like I got home and we sat down to watch some TV and, you know.
And you're just like falling out.
No, I was really like full with lunch. So I was just like, I don't even know if I'm full or if I need to nap or need to something. But that was it. So just wrapping up the kids' school week and this crazy school year, and just happy it's over. And we congratulated each other with a beautiful lunch. That's right.
Survived COVID year. All right. So Marvel Studios, The Eternals.
Yes.
What do you think? I mean, does the music fit, or what do you think's going on?
Well, I think it's a paradigm shift. You know, we're very used to the Avengers.
And they brought that up at the end of this trailer.
Exactly. It's like the end of the trailer is the only thing that really links us to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as we know it.
And did you notice how they met? They said, now that, what did they say? Steve Rogers or Mr. Rogers or something? And Iron Man.
Right.
Because, yeah, Captain America is still around. It's just,
oh, Steve Rogers, right, yes.
The Steve Rogers Captain America is not around. So they got that nod going to the new Captain America.
To Falcon, Sam.
Yeah, exactly.
No, it was nice. It was nice. It was well put together. But I think a lot about the way that you're watching the current Marvel Cinematic Universe and going through it and catching up on all the other stuff. And I almost feel like this is reverse engineering something like that. So you have all these expectations built into a new phase of superheroes.
Okay.
And you kind of have this different approach to it, you know, like this is like starting the first time they did this in, you know, when Kevin Feige took the helm and decided to run with these phases. He said, all right, we're going to start with a beloved yet not huge hero in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, within the Marvel Universe, with Iron Man. And we're going to build franchise around this one character, and hopefully it'll do well. And we'll get Robert Downey Jr. And it's going to be he's going to be amazing in the role, I can tell, you know. And we're going to build the franchise around that. And if that works, then we'll layer in Thor, and then we'll layer in, you know, Captain America. And
layer in they did.
And layer upon layer of this beautiful Cheesecake Factory 10-layer cake. You know what I mean? It was humongous by the end of it.
Quite the tapestry.
And this is almost the reverse of that. It's like that worked so well. Do we just go back to the well and just do it the same way? I mean, do we just paint by numbers and you know, attack a new phase, a new series, a new franchise within the universe in this same way? Well, I guess they said no. I guess they said, we aren't going to do that. We're going to start with maybe the Avengers level.
And work backwards.
And work backwards and maybe just work wider. You know what I mean? It's like,
or work wider, yeah.
Because, you know, you see the other movies that are coming out. Shang-Chi is coming out, and that's in the universe. But we said a couple weeks ago, we said that was separate and it felt separate, but it's within the cinematic universe. We still have, you know, Black Widow, which is kind of wrapping up the old universe and having like a prequel, but it's in the same phase. So they have, you know, they don't have to attack the beachhead the way they did in the first couple of phases of the Marvel Cinematic Universe Uber franchise. But maybe they need to establish a new franchise, and this is their way of trying to establish a new franchise. So it's interesting. I think, you know, the ensemble cast that they put together for this is amazing. Audrey, you know, being Indian, of, you know, my wife's Indian, so since Audrey's Indian, she's super excited to have the representation across the board, across the palette of all the nationalities that are spoken to here. So it's just, you know, I think it's a different way of going about it, and we'll have to see if it works. I'm not 100% sold that this is the way to launch this, but I think they have enough of a head of steam and enough star power and enough clout to just push this through and make this work this way that they want it to. So we'll see. What do you think?
From what I gather, it looks like this is the beginning of the Marvel, I don't know, lack of a better word, superheroes coming to the planet Earth, because it's like from 5,000 years ago, and it looks like they set up the city of Babylon and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And human history is brought about because of these Eternals.
Yes.
So you had natives, whatever, I mean, you want to call them, as far as caveman, let's say, and the caveman level human. It's almost like a cargo cult. So are you familiar with
what a
cargo cult? Do you know what that is?
What's that? No.
So, okay, brief history.
Are you making up more terms?
No. This is true.
I'm just kidding.
Well, everything I say is true, but
no, because of your meta watching, you know, I was trying to propagate that. People, we were talking whenever I watch things with people, I talked a lot about meta watching this week in my world, just trying to spread that term.
Really? Wow. Wow.
All right, go ahead. Now, what is this thing? Caveman, cargo caveman?
No, so cargo cult.
Okay.
During World War II, you had islanders in the Pacific, and maybe they saw Europeans or they didn't. I don't know, you know, up to this point in history of World War II. But what they would do is the United States, in order to get to Japan, had to set up air bases and such on these small islands in the Pacific, and they were island hopping, getting their way to Japan, because technology at the time, like now, we could come out of Air Force Base in Missouri, fly all the way to Iraq, do a bombing run, fly all the way back to Missouri, land, and get ready for the next mission.
Right.
Well, that didn't exist in 1940, whatever, right? 43 or something. So what they did was the United States was island hopping, going from island to island, setting up air bases and such. And there were the islanders, the South Pacific Islanders, on these small islands where here come the Americans, and they set up airstrips. When they came, what they brought with them was, you know, maybe their food, their dress, their technology, their radios, their everything.
Right.
And with that was like the riches of the West, let's say, came to these small islands. Well, the war was over, and the Americans left, and they took all their stuff with them. But the islanders got really comfortable with what the Americans brought. So what they would do is they would set up towers, and they would set up what appeared to look like microphones, and they put coconuts on their ears, like as if they were like, you know, like headphones.
Oh no.
And they made airplanes out of, you know, bamboo and thatch and all this kind of stuff, because they didn't know what was going on, why Americans were talking into these sticks with coconuts on their ears and so on. They didn't realize that these were radios and all that. They just saw what they were doing, and going through these rituals, in a sense, they brought with them all of this like Western culture, Western food, Western clothing, Western entertainment, or whatever it happened to be. And when everybody left, they wound up doing the same things, thinking that's what brought all that stuff. And when you think about a cargo cult, it was like, let's say there was like a B-29 or a C-17. And when you think about an airplane isn't there, and all of a sudden it appears, right? Because it comes from over the horizon. It comes from out of the distance. It's so small. And then when you see it, but you don't necessarily know it's coming. So you don't know to look for it and stuff.
Right.
And that's, I mean, even today when you see an airport, like poof, there's the plane. It's coming in for a landing. And that's how the cargo cults kind of were too. The airplanes would just like appear. So the Americans, when they would land their planes and such, looked like their airplanes were like these spaceship god things.
Yeah.
That's exactly how the spaceship in this is. It just like appears and you see on the edges the it's like the cloaking or whatever it is kind of disappearing and the ship
is appearing.
And it just reminded me of what it must have been like in 1943 on some South Pacific island with a cargo cult, you know, coming to some what we would consider primitive.
Mm-hmm.
It just reminded me of a cargo cult.
So similar to the way the aliens, when aliens visit us.
Exactly.
The way we act like, oh, look, it's a UFO or something.
Exactly. Because it's so...
Futuristic
to us or whatever. It's so foreign or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's so odd. But yeah, and then after this, Clarissa and I watched about a 15-minute explainer.
Oh, you watched the explainer? I was actually going to, and then I fought the urge to watch it because I wanted to be pure to this. But what I'm excited. Tell me what it said.
You know when you watch WandaVision and there's like 98 Easter eggs?
Yes, yes.
I didn't realize there was 98 Easter eggs. In a 2-minute trailer.
There weren't any numbers. There weren't any numbers to have Easter eggs to. The Easter eggs had to be so visual.
There's a lot of Easter eggs, you know, and it's shocking. maybe they're not all Easter eggs, but it's like things that lead you into what's to come and
right.
Who the characters are and how, you know, and it goes back to the comic books, of course. And
right.
Yeah, it was a bit much. I'm not that much of a nerd, so.
So in there, does this have... So the only thing that I could think of, and having not seen the explainers or watched any of that yet, definitely going to watch it now, is does this feel like it's going to be the beginning of folding in X-Men?
Well, the explainer didn't say anything about that.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that's what's going to do. A lot of what they do is it explains more the Eternals... universe,
the lineage of that in the comics,
the lineage of the Eternals, exactly. Rather, I think at the end when they talk about, and this isn't the explainer didn't say this, this is just my assumption, when they talk about like, well, who's going to lead now that Iron Man and Rogers is gone,
right?
I think that's Marvel saying we're leaving that in the past. The old Marvel of Thor and everything you guys saw there, that's done.
Mm-hmm.
We're moving forward with new Marvel. So whatever that brings, I mean, I think there's going to... I mean, they have, what, 6,000 characters?
8,000, I believe.
Whatever it is. They have thousands of characters, right? So they could do lots and lots and lots of movies. And like we talked a few weeks ago about Doorman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So who knows, man?
For the love of Doorman, we love it. Yes.
That, I mean, Doorman might make an appearance in an episode or something, in one of the schmovies or in a movie or who knows what. But I would say I'm going to watch.
I'm definitely going to watch.
Yeah, I would say it's so heavy in the content with regard to Marvel. I don't know how much I'll retain, right? I think it's going to get to the point where they're going to be talking about their thousands of characters at some point, and you're just going to be like, I might have heard of him in a movie.
Yeah.
There's just too many at some point.
Well, and I think to me that was kind of what I was alluding to. When you layer in as slowly as you did with Iron Man, Thor, Captain America, on and on and on, when you layer it in like that, it was digestible and you really got to enjoy time with the character, you know? And
right.
And then by the end, when it was an ensemble.
Endgame and all that.
Endgame and even into Spider-Man, we just watched Far From Home. You know, when those kind of movies.
Is that when they were in London?
Yeah, Far From Home is London.
Yeah.
And Venice.
Right.
But, you know, that has that trope of like the backstory for the second Henry. henchmen. You know what I mean? Like, it had that great storyline where every scientist that was either pushed aside by the Avengers or made fun of by the Avengers had a story to tell that was then their origin story for becoming a bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a great trope to play into, because they basically did the building and they built up and they let it, you know, expand into this, and then they narrowed it down and they kept the core of the heroes. Now we're going to start wide, and we're going to start with this. And to me, it is a bit of a turnoff to say, have all these characters in here. I don't know if you remember, but the couple of times that I tried to watch Game of Thrones, the first two episodes, they throw so many characters at you. I'm just like,
oh, it's brutal. It's brutal.
I'm just like, I'm out. I can't even get into this, you know? Now, this has Angelina Jolie, so I'm in it for the long haul. I'm going to give it longer of a time to try out. But
yeah, and it has Kit Harington from Game of Thrones. So you get your Game of Thrones little taste here, too.
There you go. Kit Harington in another huge ensemble cast.
And you get some Silicon Valley going on. And
oh, yeah. Who's that? Kumail Nanjiani? No. Is he in Silicon Valley? Yeah, I guess he was.
Yeah.
I don't think of him as Silicon Valley, though, for some reason.
You don't?
No, I guess, yeah. I mean, to me, he's more of a comedian than...
Kumail Nanjiani?
Yes.
Okay, Kumail Nanjiani. But yeah, so we have some Silicon Valley in there. We have some Game of Thrones in there. We have...
Mrs. Smith.
We have, yeah, there's a lot of people, you know. I mean, I think what's going to happen, though, is there's so many characters. Like you said, what is there, 6,000 to 8,000 characters somewhere around that realm?
Yeah.
There's not that many actors, actresses in Hollywood. Mm. Pretty soon, everybody's going to have played a Marvel character. Which one are you?
or multiple Marvel characters, right?
Right.
I think Anne said that there's somebody in here that gets to play, that played one of the green people, and now she's in here as another character. like, but it happens. It happens. I mean, Captain Roger, what's his name? I'm sorry. Captain Rogers was...
Steve Rogers,
the Human Torch, before he was that,
the Human Torch.
Yeah, in the original, he was the Human Torch in Fantastic Four.
Oh, Fantastic Four. Yeah, you know, the thing about it, though, is it's like, yeah, exactly. There's only so many actors, actresses. I mean, pretty soon there's going to be like, it doesn't matter where you go in Hollywood, people are going to say, so which Marvel character were you? You know, like everybody will have played one.
There you go.
All right, man. I think we beat the Eternals to death. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know what the takeaway is going to be, but, you know, with the money they throw at these things, it's going to be incredible.
It's going to be massive. I love it.
Yeah. So, dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
Dude, I think we need to bring it down a notch. You know, no, I'm serious. Like, this does bring it down a notch.
Yeah.
Me and Clarissa finished the trailer, and we kind of just stared at the screen for a few minutes. I mean, this was heavy, man. This was heavy. I don't think I've ever seen a trailer with a mid-trailer twist such as this one.
To me, you know, and this trailer's been out a couple weeks, and I didn't put it in last week's.
That's all right. Talking about it's, you know.
And I was just like, I saw it, and it, you know, and it hit really deeply, you know, and
oh, so deep.
And then I watched it again this week, and I was just like, I think we should talk about it. You know, you're a school counselor, you know,
school psychologist.
School psychologist, sorry, yes.
Yeah.
but I mean, you counsel the kids, and I thought it was done so well within the trailer.
Oh, the trailer is so, like, it's heavy, but it's so well done.
Yeah. It tells a story in and of itself. The trailer's true to itself. Yes.
Oh, the trailer is the movie. Yeah. It's the exposition, everything in the way they cut it. But I mean, the mid-trailer shift, there's the kid. You don't know what you're seeing. You see the main character. He seems like a little awkward. He has a broken arm.
Right.
And this other guy just kind of like just bumps into him and says, let me sign your cast. Ha ha. I'm out of here, dude. Later.
Yeah.
You think nothing of that kid. And all of a sudden, that kid who was in there for a split second is the impetus of the entire story.
The entire story. He kind of hits you as kind of like when the sister is apologizing for him, you almost feel like he's a bit of a bully maybe, or, you know, like he could have been, you know, just a bit of a jerk, a bully, like he's kind of making fun of Evan Hansen, you know, and the letter goes away and the letter's kind of not there and he doesn't, you know, and he kind of, he steals it off the printer, you know, and it's like, oh, what's he gonna, you know, and like, I guess I didn't know about the Broadway musical that everybody raved about that's the basis of this movie.
I had no idea until just a second ago.
But yeah, and it was, you know, a huge Broadway success, a smash, you know.
Wow.
But not our cup of tea, not, you know, not really in our brand and our wheelhouse, but it just hit me so, you know, it's a raw spot. And, you know, you have these assumptions of these people, all these people in high school, and maybe me more than you, because you actually get to spend time with them and see them. But I'm just like,
oh, I see lots of kids like this.
Yeah.
But what I could say is the sad thing about it is this. Lots of kids will tell you that they want to kill themselves or suicidal, whatever.
Uh-huh. Right.
I always said those aren't the ones I'm worried about.
Right.
The ones I'm worried about are the ones that never say anything.
Right.
You know, and that's what's, I mean, I work with a lot of kids like this, you know. I mean, well, I shouldn't say the kids that actually follow through, but I work with a lot of kids who say, I'm going to kill myself. And, you know, you go through the whole thing of, you know, making sure they're okay and they
right
making Uh-oh. Sure they're okay, they get the treatment they need and, you know, the attention they deserve and need and all that stuff. But the ones who, in all my time doing this, we had one at my school, we had mm-hmm. one at the school across town, both suicides, and they were kids who were just everyday normal kids no one yeah. thought nothing of, and then one day they just do the deed, you know. And ugh. And we get lots and lots and lots of kids who say, I'm suicidal, I'm gonna kill myself, and they go, you know, they tell you,
and it's a cry for help, it's a attention, and yeah.
So yeah, I mean, at least in my world, you know, I don't know if this, I can't say this is true for everybody, but in my world, I can say that the ones who say all those things are the ones who don't follow through or haven't yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the ones that were just, they're good students, they play sports, they have friends, they everything you would never in a million years suspect. All of a sudden you get a phone call, such and such student took their life.
That's the thing that really gripped me in this trailer was they had to grapple with the idea of, yeah, he was a kid, he had typical kid problems, and but it's like you said, it's the things, it's the people with the kids without the warning signs that do it.
Exactly. Right.
And then you're left as a family around it, you're just left reeling. And the only thing they had to grasp onto was this stolen letter that, you know, that was misinterpreted as a letter from Connor to Evan Hansen.
Exactly. Yeah. Like in the reverse almost.
And and it was like this thing that became more than Evan could deal with. And he thought that he was doing the right thing by just playing along. And then obviously it's, you know, they very deftly allow the audience of the trailer to just catch up and to just be in the moment. You know, there is no exposition of revealing the fact that Evan Hansen has found out that, you know, that he wrote this to himself. He doesn't have like a come clean moment that I'm sure we'll experience in the movie.
I was going to say, we don't know that.
Well, yeah, we don't know because we're not Broadway fans, but
exactly.
But when he does say that he screwed this up and he does all that, we have the aftermath of it. So we have that emotion, the emotional beats of everything, even without all the exposition. So I thought it was just deftly played and timed. And, you know, if there is that moment in the movie, and if it was in an early cut of the trailer, getting it out of the trailer was one of the best things for this. I think, you know, just letting us be an audience to this 2-minute piece of trailer art is amazing.
Yeah, it really hit me hard. I could say with 100% certainty, I never walked away from a trailer with tears.
Uh-huh.
This was super emotional. the way it was cut together, I think, was extremely well done. In my opinion, probably one of the best trailers I think I've seen in, you know, the time we've been doing Trailer Junkies podcast. I mean,
yeah,
really a well done, choked me up for sure.
Yeah.
Trailer, and extremely emotional. Like I said, I've never seen a mid trailer twist the way I've seen with this one, because
it just throws the brakes on the whole audience. It's just like you see something go unraveling and coming of age, and then you're like snapped out of it.
Yeah, and like I said, the kid who took his life, he's the impetus to the entire movie, and he's a backstory in the first half of the trailer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then he becomes the main story in the second half, and he's not even there.
Right.
It was so well done. You know, and before we move on, though, I really feel like we need to say, I mean, anybody, you know, like I said, I work with kids.
Right.
High school kids. I work in a high school, and lots of kids who go through lots of things. COVID's been a tough year for kids. Sadly, I've had to work with hospitalizing kids, and, you know, I have lots of stories about some of these things, but not for the scope of this. But, you know, anybody who's feeling these feelings or anything, just I encourage you to go seek help, to talk to somebody. There are suicide hotlines, national, local, county, state, whatever. You know, they're just an internet search away. There's too many to list. I'm not going to go down that, but
right.
But yeah, just before acting, just stop and just say, you know what, right now is not the time.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just go talk to somebody, because, you know, hey, I mean, you know, think about it. Good times don't last forever, but bad times don't last forever either.
That's so true.
You know, no matter how bad it gets, I mean, don't get me wrong, it, like, shit gets bad sometimes for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't last forever, you know, like it'll pass. Things will get better. And just because, you know, a breakup, or, I mean, who knows what people go through, but it's like
anything.
It's just, it ain't that bad, you know, like,
right.
There's always something better will eventually come around, you know? And I know when you're in the moment, it doesn't seem like it. And that's true no matter your age. It doesn't seem like it. But, you know, yeah, this, for me, was a heavy hitter. I was,
yes.
Like I said, when it was done, me and Clarissa sat and stared at the screen for, like, I mean, a few minutes. And we were just like, and then finally we just went like, whew, man.
Heavy.
Very heavy. Anyway, with that, Ted, what have you been watching this week?
So this week, I watched a couple of things. So the big thing that I watched this week was Army of the Dead.
Oh, my God. I was so tempted. So I had the day off today.
Uh-huh.
I was so tempted to, like, just hit play because I saw it.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? If Clarissa sees I watched it without her, she'll kick my ass. So I thought, I'll wait.
Just wait for her.
So how was it?
Well, see, and I had the exact opposite thing. I was like,
Anne wants nothing to do with it.
Anne wants no part of this.
Right.
This is the only heist movie she'll never want to see in her entire life.
Was it good?
I liked it a lot. I gave a recommend to Audrey. Audrey's, you know, 15 now, so she watches whatever she wants.
Well, let's hurry up with this show. We'll go watch.
It's a recommend. It's, you know, I guess it's been a long time since I've seen zombies. You know, I've taken a zombie break.
What, a zombie Elvis? What?
The opening zombie stuff is really, really well done. The opening credit sequence is incredibly long, incredibly some of the most boring fonts in the world. But you aren't watching it for the fonts. You're watching it for the slow-mo zombie action in the background of these fonts. It's amazing. And just this, and this lounge act kind of Liberace impersonator and Elvis impersonator and just like naked zombie showgirls, you know, topless shop zombie showgirls, you know.
So it's like in The Walking Dead, the one thing they never showed was like a naked zombie.
Because TV.
And it's like, of course you would have naked zombies. Like, you know, not everybody was dressed in perfect clothing when they died.
And then for me, it really, like, the storyline and the whole, I guess you're going to watch it, so I'm not going to give any spoil. I'll give a spoiler-free review of it.
Thank you.
The storyline and the containment and the whole way it unfolds, and I'll tell you that there's, what do they call them? Creepers and alphas, and they have fast zombies, thinking zombies. A hierarchy of zombies, the
multiple genre of zombie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think World War Z kind of did the same thing.
They had fast zombies. Yeah.
But yeah. So I guess this is the one had the most thoughtful zombies. You know what I mean? Like a zombie that, you know, wears a metal helmet because he's protecting his brain, you know? I was like,
because he knows a shot to the brain kills him.
Because he knows, he's like, he saw enough zombies around him go down and he's like, ah, so I put a helmet on and I become a much more deadly zombie, you know? So you have that level of just detail, and then, you know, the way that it's done, and just not to be too political, but it's definitely, without saying Trump, it's in the time of Trump.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have some news reports where they talk about the president saying things, and I'm like, oh, that's genius, because they don't say Trump, so this could be anybody, but they say this president saying idiotic things, you know what I mean? So it was just like, it was a nice nod to some contemporary stuff without being too on the nose about it. Like if you saw this 10 years from now or 5 years from now, hopefully we won't have to think about it. It'll be a callback to a different time. But
so does it have staying power? Is that, so you're saying it does not have staying power?
No, I think it has staying power. And I think it's written in a way that it doesn't, it's a wink and a nod to a pop culture reference instead of just doing a straight up pop culture reference.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they could have had a Trump impersonator standing in front of a news thing or used his name. But instead they just talk about, you know, they talk about the whole scenario, and then they have the president making some statements and you're like, oh, I get who that is. You know what I mean?
Remind me, this was straight to Netflix, right?
Straight to Netflix. Yes. Straight to Netflix. But it's a Zack Snyder film.
Right.
And Zack Snyder, he co-wrote it, he directed it, and he was the cinematographer. He was the director of photography on it.
Oh, he did all of it. Wow.
So he did a lot, you know, and it was amazing. It was.
Well, he did like what, Man of Steel or something?
He did Man of Steel. He did Justice League. He did, you know.
Justice League. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right.
He's
ton of stuff.
He's well ingrained in that.
Awesome.
So it's a well done movie. And then we also, I found a DVD laying around here, The Italian Job with Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, that's a great one.
So we just watched that with the family one night.
Is that the Mini Coopers?
Yeah, the Mini Coopers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Mini Coopers going through the LA subway system.
That's right. Yeah.
And I said, you know, the director actually converted all these Mini Coopers to electric.
Yeah, the Mini Coopers, it's not the LA subway, it's the aqueduct or something, right?
Oh, right.
Wasn't it the Sepulveda Dam or something?
So they did both. They go down the subway at like Hollywood and Highland, and then they get on the tracks and they pop out in the big LA River.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
But they had to convert they wanted to be in the real subway system, and to be in the real subway system, because of smog and because of, you know, emissions and things like that, they couldn't use standard Mini Coopers. So they modified Mini Coopers and they made them all electric. So
before
electric vehicles, they had these converted Mini Coopers that were all electric that just zipped around in the subway tunnels.
And whoever did that is kicking themselves saying, look at the money we could have made on electric vehicles today. And, yeah.
So that was a fun movie to watch again for the kids to see for the first time, because we're all about heist movies.
Oh, yeah. No, that was great.
How about you? What have you been watching?
You know, short week this week. I'm in the throes of the last couple weeks of the school year, so things are like extremely hectic, extremely busy. I mean, I'm getting a lot done at work, but at the same time, it just keeps coming at me from all directions.
Jim's writing his reports, bosses at school. He's writing all the reports.
It's coming at me from all directions. Boys are finishing up school.
2 weeks they have?
Yeah, there's 8 days left.
Okay.
So there's 4 days next week, 4 days the week after. That's the end of it. Yeah, it's just been like super hectic. Clarissa's been working overtime, getting home late. So we didn't do much. We did do this week's episode of The Handmaid's Tale. You know, that's out a week by week at this point. And we finished Cursed, you know, finally. I mean, I enjoyed it. It was great. Lots of fun to watch. You know, we like the fantasy fiction sword play medieval kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, other than that, like I said, I was sitting around today. I had the day off of work. The boys were home, and I thought, you know, I just saw it come across, you know, the Vegas heist zombie movie. And I thought, now's the time. But I said, I better wait for Clarissa. She'll be upset, you know. So
no, it's good. It's good. It's good to watch with someone, especially if you're into it.
Well, I think we're going to have to cut out of here in a few minutes. So we can
go watch it. Yeah. It is a long one. You know, Snyder likes his long movies. It's about 2 hours, 40 minutes. You might be a two-parter.
Ooh. Usually zombie movies are like an hour 40.
Yeah. Yeah. This one.
So this one goes long.
This one goes long. And it's really, we'll have to talk about this next week after you've seen it.
You know what I think we might do? We might start it earlier tomorrow night.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. So you're talking close to 3 hours.
I think so.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We should double check that.
That's all right. All right, Ted, any last thoughts on anything or anything else? You know, I mean, I think I'm good for tonight. How about you?
Yeah. No, it's great. Thank you.
Yeah. How'd your beer finish?
My beer finished warm. It's pretty warm in here. I don't know.
Is it?
It's sharp. It's a sharp pine. So it's funny because it's sharpened up on the bitterness, but the pine mellowed. So it's a weird yin and yang of flavors coming through. How'd yours end up?
You know, as it warmed, the sourness kind of mellowed, or I got used to it. I'm not sure which.
Okay.
Yeah, the sourness. I did say sourness.
You said it correctly all
sourness.
The time.
That just sounds like a weird word, sourness. You ever say a word over and over and over, after a while, you're just like, that's weird.
It's a sound. Oh man, Ted Lasso. This is a Ted Lasso thing.
Oh geez.
They actually have a whole scene where he's saying words and there's a term for it. I gotta dig it up. I'll dig it up after this and I'll send it to you. But I'll send you the clip, maybe we'll throw it in. But there's a term for when a word becomes a sound and then the sound loses all meaning.
Yeah, exactly. And then just starts sounding weird.
And then you just keep repeating it and you're like, that's not a word. And they're like, no, that's exactly the word. And they're like, it doesn't sound like a word anymore.
Totally, man. I get it. But the sourness of it all.
Sourness.
Like I said, it mellowed. But overall, okay. I think that mellowed. But the wild yeast came forward.
Ah, okay.
The orange kind of fell off. But yeah, it was it like really changed its profile over the hour-ish that we've been doing this, and I still have a little bit left actually. It was big bottle, but no, it's awesome though, man. I really enjoy this. It's a beer though that's a sipper,
yeah,
and one. Like one, I mean, it's a big bottle, but one bottle, it's not like you're going to be drinking these all night. It's just, it's too much. It's like, you just have what you have. You're done. See you next week.
Right.
So
I found the term. It's called semantic satiation.
Semantic satiation?
Semantic satiation. Repeating a word until it becomes meaningless.
You know why it's called semantic satiation?
Because that sound in and of itself is a semantic satiation.
If you keep saying semantic satiation over and over and over, it becomes meaningless. Semantic satiation. All right, man. So with semantic satiation, I am out of here.
All right. Talk to you later.
All
See
right,
you next
later.
Week. Bye.
Next week, join Jim and Ted as they disarm another Hollywood bomb or marketing masterpiece. Remember, the holy trinity of podcasting. Subscribe, like, share.
Special thanks to Jeremy Kent Jackson for the voiceover and Rahelio for the music.